Hey, welcome to the List Film Podcast. What's going on? So for the new listeners, we're a weekly podcast where we list and discuss our top five favorite films, actors, actresses, whatever we're talking about that week. We discuss them and list them from five to one. Yes. Yeah. That's what we do. That's our bag. I'm Ricardo.
I'm Jenny.
I'm Adam Scott.
And I'm Kevin.
That's how we do it. 3 men and a baby.
Dude, you're stepping on my list already.
Sorry. And today we're talking about, I guess, I don't know when this will air, but Father's Day will be coming up. Either it just happened or it will happen. And anyway, well, either way, we're talking about movie dads, whether they're good, bad, ugly. We're talking about.
Well, I know it's going to be on your list.
Yeah. we're talking about movie dads. So that's how I saw it. You know, just dads in general. I don't know if anybody has bad dads on their list, but I may have some. so yeah, what do we get into right now? What do you guys want to get into? What's going on in everybody's lives? I want to know.
What did we all see this weekend?
Yeah. What did we see?
You know what we saw.
Yeah.
We all saw.
You know.
We all saw Prometheus.
You know. We all saw Prometheus. Prometheus. I wonder what it is. I wonder if you're an English scholar, how you say it.
Prometheus.
I went to the cinema and saw Prometheus. I'm sorry if I insulted our listeners from the UK. that's how the Queen says it. When she
I think it's higher
I
when
saw
she says it.
Rather,
Prometheus.
Prometheus.
Yeah. I wouldn't saw Prometheus. Hello.
Well, we all saw it, right? All of us?
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
All right. Let's talk about it. What's going on, guys?
Wait, so did the three of you, Kevin, Ricardo, and Jenny, go together to Midnight Show to see it?
Yes. We were holding hands. We skipped all the way there and sat together. We shared a bag of popcorn.
Well, if you enjoyed it as much as I did, you probably did not skip back to the car because I was really disappointed.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't disappointed as much as like, oh, it wasn't nothing like I thought it was going to be. But it wasn't like I didn't hate it. I wasn't like, oh my God, I wasted 2 hours of my life. For me, it was more like, meh. And the thing is, like, I didn't care for that movie as much as I do for other movies this summer. So I feel like it's like, that's why I don't hate it. And I'm not, I love Alien and Aliens a lot, but not enough to say he tainted the franchise. and I still like it better than Alien and
Resurrection.
So.
Yeah. This might be blasphemy, but I'd take Alien Resurrection over Prometheus.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
I would any alien that does not have a predator in it, I would take over Prometheus.
So it's better than the Alien and Predator films.
Yes.
All right. The thing is, like, there was such like good actors in them, and like I wanted to like all the characters, but I'm like, I could have done without that character.
I could have done without any of the characters.
Yeah,
I didn't like anybody.
They didn't
care about
any of the characters.
I did want to see Charlize Theron topless. I saw a little teaser of that at Comic-Con. And I didn't get that.
Maybe that's why I was so disappointed. I was like, Ricardo said topless push-ups.
That's
and
true.
Never
and then she was wearing clothing.
Yeah. Never happened. So
sorry, guys.
It was all downhill from there.
For these four eyes only, guys. Jenny,
yeah.
I saw it.
Yeah.
It's burned into
jealous.
My... Yeah. Kevin, what did you think? We didn't really talk about this.
We didn't. I mean, I liked it. I actually started doing more nitpicking several days after when I started thinking about characters and how they were just shitty characters.
Yeah.
But I mean, when I watched the movie, I enjoyed it. I liked it. I didn't fall asleep or be like, oh, this is crap while I was watching it. And this is at midnight where I could have decided, you know what, I'm going to take a nap, but I didn't do that.
Yeah. I didn't either. I didn't fall asleep.
I still don't think that's a very good,
it isn't
a good a tag for this, the trailer or for the poster. I didn't fall asleep.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I'm on your method of thinking where I definitely the more days go on the more I start nitpicking, but it's far enough so where now I'm like I don't care that's in the past. I'm looking forward, you know.
Well, I mean, it hasn't affected my life in any way, really, but I still didn't like the movie.
Yeah. And the thing is like, I'm not going to see it again. I'm not going to buy it. There's no need to bother with it. I saw it. Whatever enjoyment I got out of it, it's done and moving on. Jenny, what did you think?
I thought it was a really good Michael Fassbender movie. I thought he was awesome, and the whole rest of it was... It was visually spectacular. It was really an awesome show, but the storyline just didn't hold up. But yeah. Michael Fassbender's character, absolutely, I thought he nailed it. He did everything I could possibly want him to do.
He was the most interesting character in the movie.
Oh, yes, he was.
He was the most interesting man in the world. In the future.
Well, in that world.
Yeah, yeah. I wish the movie was about him.
Yeah.
Like, hey, what's that up,
guy,
guys?
That guy wishes it was about him, too.
he's like, me too, man.
It's the cab driver.
So, you're right. I wish the movie was about him. And
I liked the scenes with just him in them.
Yeah.
A lot.
It could have been a Moon Part 2 with just him.
Yeah.
Two of him.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
It was very predictable, though.
Yeah.
The whole movie.
What else? One of those. Anything else? Anybody saw?
You don't need to see it in 3D.
Don't see it. Don't.
It's not necessary.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a different type of 3D, but it's not necessary still.
I'm going to take it one step further. You don't need to see it.
That is.
Yeah.
I don't mind that I saw it, and I'm not going to go see it again in the theaters. I'll wait until I see it for free next. But I wouldn't spend as much as we spent on it.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
We did Dome at the Arclight, so it was like $19.
Well, I mean, at least that means if Kevin wants to, he can revisit it again for free.
That's true. But I won't be wasting money.
Yeah. We paid like $18, $19 and I don't know. It's a Blu-ray Redbox rental for me.
Yeah.
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 Just cuz I want the visuals, but at my house. For $2.
I don't want any of it.
Yeah. I mean, if I had to do it again, this is my new thing. If I had to time travel back in time and tell myself, how much should I pay for this future, Ricardo?
I would make sure you don't touch yourself.
No. Well, you don't know. What if that's something cool? Just saying.
What if you unmake the world?
That'd be cool too. I would go, Ricardo, wait for it on Redbox, but rent it on Blu-ray because it might look cool. You know,
if you go back in time and tell yourself something, I would hope you would go further back and tell yourself something a bit more substantial.
No, if I had to go back in time,
Facebook.
Yeah.
Well, that's not doing too good right now, so we don't want to buy Facebook.
Invest in Apple.
Yeah, that's true. But I think if I had to go back in time and stop myself from seeing a movie, it'd be probably Boogeyman Part 1.
Didn't you see that for free?
Exactly.
Yeah, but still, that's how bad it is.
Yeah. So. So that's about it, right? We're all on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing I saw.
This is a movie that we should not talk about anymore.
We don't really need to.
We don't need to at all.
We can move on.
Yeah. What else? Did anybody see anything on cable? Anything interesting?
I haven't watched it yet, but per Kevin's recommendation, I just got my Netflix copy of Lady Snowblood.
Oh, nice.
Which I'm excited to watch.
And Kevin, tell us about that, since you've seen it.
Basic plot is a woman who is born to take revenge for her mother, whose husband was killed, and she was raped by a gang of three people.
Hmm.
And
it's a family film, huh?
So after, definitely.
In a way,
exactly. Yeah, I mean, we should have done a Mother's Day film, and she would have been in it. But after she's able to kill one of them. She goes to prison, and in prison, she sleeps with as many people as possible until she gets pregnant so she can have a child that will go and take revenge for her. And that's so Lady Snowblood is that daughter that is born.
Mm. Now I want to see it. Now it sounds really interesting.
And I mean, it's one of the main movies that influenced Kill Bill. They steal a song from it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The whole introduction. I started watching it, but it was really late. I'm like, I need to wait until I can enjoy it all the way through. I didn't fall asleep. I made a conscious decision to stop. And
that's good.
Which list was this on for you?
Martial arts.
Okay, that's what I thought.
what else? What else did I see? I didn't see anything else, I think. I think that was the only thing I saw. Oh, I saw Saving Silverman again. It was on streaming.
I hope that's not your stream of the week.
No, it's not. watching it again, I was like, oh, this movie isn't that good. I remember it being really funny.
You really needed to watch it again to confirm that?
Well, at the time, I thought it was genius. It was really funny.
I really enjoyed it, but I also... I felt I could think back and remember it.
I was inebriated at the time, and I feel like I wasn't in the same headspace. So it was very much like, oh man, this movie is horrible. Like, some of the jokes were still funny. The ones I really, really love, like the, you know, beer bung for the lady. That was still funny. So. But yeah, no, my stream of the week is Best in Show. It's streaming.
Really?
Yes.
Nice.
So check that out. Christopher Guest, Eugene Levy, Michael Sheen. McKean. Yeah, it's their, what is it, one, two,
John third? Michael Higgins?
Third? Is it their third mockumentary?
Yes. Well, I mean, it depends on, because he didn't direct
Spinal Tap. So but I count it. It's the same group. It's the same, you know,
right.
Team, except for Rob Reiner. Yeah, so third movie. But it's really funny. Don't go on the fact that it's about a dog show. Just forget about the fact that it's about a dog show. And it's a comedy. If you have sophisticated humor, then you'll like this movie. Even if you don't, you still like it.
I don't think sophisticated humor is required.
No, you don't.
No, but I think you have to go in knowing that. That was my first thing. Like, we're going to the movie to see a what? A dog movie? All right. You know? And it was very much like, I would never pick this movie. And then I forgot it was the same guy as it did. And then I'm like, oh, it's the dude from Spinal Tap. I love this movie.
No. Yeah, I mean, it's a dog show movie about some really interesting people.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a fake documentary. This is kind of what started, like, The Office and, like, that style of, like, shows. And Parks and Rec and stuff. Jenny, what's going on with you?
No one.
What are you doing, Jenny?
We lost you there. We lost you. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I'm still working on my list.
I know. You're like, I can squeeze in some more.
Should we stretch? Yeah. Should we talk
no,
about other
you're
things?
Good.
I can go, I can do 10 minutes on,
no,
you know.
No, no, you're good.
Let's talk about some television.
On a James Franco movie. I may have or may or not have seen. But no, let's. You guys want to get into the list?
Let's do it.
Sure.
Let's do it.
Okay. Okay, so starting out, I think... most of the dads on my list are pretty good. I'm really proud about one of the films on my list when I finally thought of it and put it on there. So that's, but that comes later.
what are you like?
So Jesus, you're not proud of this one?
No, I am. And this, so my number five is from 1921 and it's my second favorite Charlie Chaplin film and it's The Kid. This movie's great and it really shows you how terrific of an actor Chaplin was and director he was, because he really definitely tugs at the emotional heartstrings at it. And then the final scene where he's holding the kid after he feels like he's lost him, and this is a child that was never his. He's just the tramp, and he discovers this child in the back of a car and decides to with a note that says, somebody please take care of my child. And he decides to take this little boy who he names John and raise him as his own, and kind of utilize him to kind of commit minor crimes so he can repair windows. But it's about their relationship. It's about how, I mean, he's trying to do whatever he can to take care of this child. And when he thinks he's going to lose the child, how he just loses it and kind of just breaks down. But it's a really, really good movie. It's a silent film, so it's short and sweet, and you get a complete story and you're just along for the ride.
Yeah. Like, as opposed to the Oscar winner last year, this is a good, really
this is a
good
great,
sound
yeah.
film. And I feel like the dude that did The Artist didn't, like, he's like, I want to do silent film, but I've never seen one. But I'm just going to do it anyway. Let's see how it comes out. And, yeah. Like, you know. But yeah, I like this movie.
Yeah.
Even though I'm always on the Buster Keaton camp, I definitely love that. This is one of the Charlie Chaplin ones.
This
really
is because I'm the same. I'm right there with you, Buster Keaton. But this movie and like Modern Times, whenever I watch, I was like, oh, if he just created a couple more of these, you know, I might be more of a Chaplin person than I am a Keaton.
Yeah.
But because The Kid is just a really good, sweet film.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome pick to start us off. Adam.
Alrighty. So mine, I don't know if it necessarily is up there with The Kid, but I do love this movie. It's from 1996, and it's The Birdcage.
Nice.
Damn it. That's my number one. God. I was like, I was so like, no one's going to have this one.
I'm sorry.
Birdcage is great.
Damn.
I didn't actually think anyone else would have The
Birdcage. I didn't either. Well, there's that.
There we go.
We barely know each other.
You had it as number one. Do you want to talk about it first?
No,
then?
You can. You just brought it up.
Well, I love this movie. It's hilarious. I don't think I've had it on any other list or mentioned it up until now. But it's one of those movies
either.
That I just watched all the time.
Yeah, yep. You can.
And, I mean, Robin Williams playing a gay dad who is willing to pretend to be straight. Armand. Willing to pretend to be straight to help his son, like, smooth things over with his son's fiance's ultra-conservative family. And I love it. It's hilarious. Robin Williams is hilarious. Nathan Lane is hilarious as his...
Yes, lover.
Second.
Partner.
Well, as the kids slash... mom slash dad, like his second dad. It's I've never seen the French movie that it's based on.
I haven't either. Is it a movie or is it a
both.
Musical?
Oh, well, I mean,
was it originally
it was a play and then they made a movie of it.
Okay.
But they made a French version of what, La Cage
aux Folles?
Something like that.
I think that's it.
But I love this. I watch it all the time. Is it Mike Nichols?
Yep.
Mike Nichols directing. And everyone, the entire cast is great. Robin Williams, Gene Hackman, Nathan Lane, Diane Wiest, Dan Futterman, Calista Flockhart. But who steals the show?
Oh.
Everyone knows this. Yep. Hank Azaria as Agador. I've talked about Hank Azaria as Agador so much. So maybe I've talked about him at some point during the podcast. I think during the comedians episode.
I think so, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But he is hilarious when he's talking about, I never wear the shoes because they make me fall down. or he's singing the song while he's cleaning the pool. he is hilarious. And he's not the father, but he steals the show.
He does.
But I do love Robin Williams and Dan Futterman's relationship. The scene where Dan Futterman is trying to get Robin Williams to agree to it, and Robin Williams is... choreographing a dance,
mm-hmm.
and he just kind of speeds through it. It's hilarious. It's a great movie. If you haven't seen The Birdcage, you should check it out. And I should probably check out the original French version.
Yeah, I should too.
It's such a...
And the French version has a sequel.
Really?
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah.
It's called
La Cage aux Folles 2.
Birdcages? That's such a funny movie, and it's such a weird movie to be from Mike Nichols, I feel.
Yeah, that's the thing where it's like, I knew it was him, but just saying it out loud, it sounds weird. It's like, it's not the first Mike Nichols movie I think of when I think of Mike Nichols.
Yeah. That's a good pick. And it's funny that you guys both...
on your toes.
Yeah.
No, you're fine. I really didn't think anyone would have that. I'm not going to lie. When I thought of it today, I was like, oh my God, yes, putting that on there.
There are some others I have on my list that I'm pretty sure someone else is probably going to have, but that wasn't one of the ones I thought was going to pop up. So there we go. Maybe you'll steal my next one.
Maybe. All right. So my number five is... Okay. So with my list, I mostly did the dads. So not necessarily the movies are my favorite movies, but the dads in the movies are my favorite dads.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So...
that would have made this easier.
Yeah. That's how I did it. I decided. So I'm going by characters instead of movies. So my number five is Arthur Weasley from the Harry Potter movies.
Okay.
He's the Weasley dad.
He is a pretty great dad.
He is a pretty great dad. I mean, all the Weasley family in general is a pretty great family. They take in all these kids that aren't theirs, and they have no money to begin with. And so it's just one of those, like, heartwarming. They just want everyone to get along and be happy and survive. And
from which Harry Potter movie? I'm sorry.
Pretty much from the whole thing.
Anyone.
But
any Harry
my favorite one that he's in is Goblet of Fire, because that's when they go into the tent and he brings all the kids in and he takes them to that game, the Quidditch World Cup game.
Okay.
And
which is the one when Ron and Harry take the car? Because that's my favorite moment with
second
him.
One?
I think it's the second one, or maybe the third one. It's early on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he asks him if it works. I love that moment. That was great.
Yeah. But yeah, he's my number five.
I The series isn't one of my favorite series. I mean, it's fun. I saw every movie. I never read the books. And people were like, this doesn't make sense if you read the book. And it's like, I don't care. They're fun. They're entertaining. You know what I mean? Like,
I didn't read the books until later.
Yeah. But it's one of those ones where it's one of those movies where I liked it and it was fun. And every time the new one would come out, I wouldn't remember anything about the last one. Yeah. So
I enjoyed them all the one time that I watched
them. Yeah. I'll never, ever watch them again. I mean, I'm never, like, watching TV and, like, oh, man, I gotta... It's not one of those movies where you...
I totally do that.
Really?
Yeah, if it's on, I'll just turn it on any part of the movie. I'll just turn it on because I love them so much. Huh. I love the Harry Potter movies. I mean, you have to remember, you guys are all a little bit older than me. Yeah, not much, but he... I grew up with Harry Potter. Like, he was my age the whole time, mm-hmm. So...
That's weird.
Yeah, right? So it's, like... That might be a reason. So all my friends were into it. You know, we went to go see every Harry Potter movie right when it came out. Like, that's just what we did. So I think that might have something to do with it, too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm...
I don't know.
I don't want to say that I'm ambivalent because I've enjoyed the Harry Potter movies. There was only one I didn't see in theaters. And when I did see it, finally, I enjoyed it. The one right before Half-Blood Prince, Part 1.
Order
of the Phoenix.
Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah, I didn't see that one in theaters.
Do you guys ever? Let me ask you this. I had this experience last weekend, and I was at work. And at work, we have a TV and Blu-rays, and you know, I was just looking through the channels, and it was the end of work. I was cleaning up my stuff and just relaxing a bit. And do you guys ever have this where you're watching a movie that was really crappy and you never wanted to see it? You're like, I don't want to ever see this movie. But then you start watching it just in the background, like you're doing stuff. And then you're like, well, I'm like almost three quarters of the way through. I might as well just finish it. You guys ever done that? And it's not particularly the worst movie in the world, but it's not something you would have sat down and watched.
Okay, well, what movie are you talking about?
Yeah, I want to know what movie it is.
Clockstopper.
I never even saw Clockstoppers.
Yes.
Wow.
I know. It was playing, and I wasn't paying attention to the movie. I'm just kind of glancing at it, and they were talking about, like, it's not really time travel, but anyway. And I'm really into, you know, as we spoke about in our previous episodes about time travel. They kind of mess with that little, like, it wasn't officially time travel, but it was how they explained it was pretty cool. And I'm like, man, if this like, concept was in a better movie, it would be a really cool concept. And halfway through it, I'm like, well, I should just sit down and watch it because.
Wait, so you had seen it before?
I'd never seen it before. Okay. Ever.
Well, no, because you started out saying a movie that you had seen before.
That you hadn't seen before. Sorry.
Wait, he did. That, it's not just me, right? He was talking about a movie that you had seen before.
I'm pretty sure he said
yeah.
Okay.
All right. My thoughts are.
Well, then,
jumbled.
Yes. In that case, I would because that's how I ended up watching Shudder.
Shudder.
That Joshua Jackson movie.
Oh, really?
Like, I had just got. I was. It was when I went to visit. My friend Nate in Portland,
mm-hmm.
and he was at work, and so I was hanging out with a friend of a friend. We didn't know each other, and it was on, and neither of us had the energy to change the channel, apparently. Yeah. And so we just sat through Shudder, and it was terrible.
Yeah,
but we watched the whole thing.
And it's one of those things where part of it is like sometimes you're at somebody's house, like you said, and like you're a guest, and they're kind of not changing the channel, but you're like you're too. Was to say, hey, can we change the channel? This movie sucks balls. And you just end up watching a movie that you don't want to see, but you're like, oh man, what did I do? I just wasted 2 hours. I could have just told him, I want to change this, or I could have just changed the channel myself, but no. But yeah, I watched Clockstoppers.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Okay, so yeah, no, I'm on the same page. I mean, out of politeness,
yeah.
If I'm at someone else's house and there's a shitty movie on and they have the remote, I'll defer to their judgment.
Yep.
But yeah. I'll leave the room. I left the room. Okay, one movie that comes to mind that I've left the room repeatedly: Sweet Home Alabama. Every time I walk in a room and that movie's on, I will leave. So if you want me to leave a room, just put that movie on.
Okay,
good to know.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Sweet Home Alabama. I'm writing it down.
I will get the message.
you know, clearly, he wants me out of his house.
Yes, you do not want me here.
All right, so for my number five, it is a tie, and they're both by the same director.
Okay.
One of them is a good dad, and one of them starts off as a bad dad and becomes a good father.
Is this like Rich Dad, Poor Dad?
No. What I'm talking about is Fantastic Mr. Fox, I think he's a great father, even though it's so he's an animated character. So so in lieu of not putting an animated character, my other choice is Royal Tenenbaum from The Royal Tenenbaums.
Okay.
And he starts off as an asshole, a funny asshole, and then he kind of at the end redeems himself and becomes a good father, I feel.
I mean, I feel like they both start out that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so, too. They're both kind of
selfish.
Yeah, Mr. Fox was kind of selfish. You're right. But more Royal Tenenbaum is one of my favorite movies and one of my favorite all time film dads.
He's they're both honorable mentions actually.
Yeah, yeah. And I dig all the stuff with the grandkids. He's like, is that blood? He's like, no. Oh, it's dog's blood. It's like, and all the stuff when he introduces Margot, he's like, this is my daughter Margot. She's adopted. So yeah, it's just, I love that he starts off really selfish and, you know, and his character changes at the end and he's a nice guy at the end. And it's kind of, it makes you sad at the end. Spoiler alert, he dies. when he does die, I love that for half the movie, you're rooting for him, but it's funny. You start out, I started off rooting for him off the bat, but just cause he's such a awesomely cool jerk.
Yeah, he's a charismatic jerk.
Yeah.
Well, and Gene Hackman is so amazing.
Yeah.
As Royal Tenenbaum.
Yeah. When he tells his wife he's dying, and then he's like, "I'm kidding."
No, really, I'm not. Yeah, no, I love this movie. I love this performance. It's really just an honorable mention because I was trying to stick with dads, with like good dads.
Okay.
We're good throughout.
I mixed it up. Just, you know, trying to keep everybody on their toes. What if somebody had a bad childhood? I want to, you know, represent.
It's true. You don't want to leave them out.
I know. They're like, oh, I don't want to listen to this because I had a horrible dad. so I wanted to mix it up.
So my next pick, Stepfather.
So that is my number 5, Royal Tenenbaum from The Royal Tenenbaums.
Nice. And I actually just want to thank Adam for introducing my number 4 pick, and it is The Stepfather. And this is the movie that I was proud about. From 1987, not the remake, the original with Terry O'Quinn. And mainly because Terry O'Quinn is so good in this movie. I mean, times when he's flipping out in the basement, and then he goes, oh, hi, honey. he's just so good. And as, I mean, the father character, he's an awful person. And he's trying to find the perfect family. And when they don't start behaving the way he wants them to behave, well, then he just needs to get rid of them. But Terry O'Quinn is what makes this movie. Because at times this movie can be very cheesy and bad. But Terry O'Quinn is just, he's great. He plays the character so well. And subtly at times and then off the wall at times. And you kind of just go along for the ride because he's a lot of fun to watch.
I feel like it's not as well known of a movie by younger people. I feel like most people our age don't know this movie.
Yeah.
And like seeing people going from Lost to watching The Stepfather, it's like, whoa, yeah. They don't see it coming.
They don't see it coming at all. I mean, especially the whole opening of the movie, even though technically his face does have blood on it. You don't realize what's going to happen until they...
Yeah, I love this movie.
Yeah, this movie's great. And I saw this in a film, my senior film class in high school, and I knew nothing about
it. Wait, they let you watch this in high school?
Yeah, well, it was a senior year, so we were all 7. I mean, we were all of age to watch a rated R movie.
Still, though.
Yeah, still.
Yeah.
The serial-killing stepfather.
We watched it in high school, that's all.
I mean, at least
you.
It's a good one. It's not like it was prom night or something.
No, we only watched good movies in that class. But ever since we watched it in that class, I've loved this movie. It's just been a lot of fun.
Terry O'Quinn, he's the man.
He is the man.
This and Howard Hughes in The Rocketeer.
Yep.
He was awesome in that. It's funny, going back after I'd watched Lost, I'm like, oh, that's right. He was Howard Hughes. This is amazing. And he played a good Howard Hughes, I thought he...
Actually, isn't... Now that we're talking... Okay, so this was before we started recording, but we were talking about Cutting Edge. Isn't he the dad in Cutting Edge?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It all comes back around.
You know what? And Stepfather was one of those movies from the 80s that there was a company, I want to say it was Lexmark or something like that, and there was a couple of those like B like studios that produced just like it was almost straight to video, but they had a small theatrical release, and like it was like Stepfather and like Dr. Giggles and like
Dr. Giggles. Yeah. Jeez.
It was a lot of those like it wasn't
the dentist.
Yeah, yep. they weren't
dental themed villains.
Yeah. And they did a lot of almost like B movies, but the quality of them was really good, like Stepfather. And I feel like we don't have that kind of stuff. You have really shitty.
There's a lot of really shitty movies.
Yeah, oh, and there's no shit. like there was it, that's like a great subcategory that the 80s had.
Well, I feel like that I'm going to come off as like a Luddite or something, but I feel like that's part of the problem with how easy it is to make a movie with technology now.
Yeah.
You can get so many more shitty movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not as prohibitive. Like you can just get a shitty HDV camera and make a movie and
sell it.
Some people just
somebody will rent it on Blockbuster.
Yeah, someone will see it. Someone will see Snakes on a Train because it's there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good choice. Good choice.
All right. Where are we now?
My number 4.
Who am I here?
Who that?
Okay. Oh, I don't even know what my number 4 is. I'll just pick a random one. My number 4 is Boys in the Hood.
Yes.
Ooh, 1991. Honorable
mention.
Almost made it on my list.
Lawrence Fishburne as Furious.
Yep.
And he's like the moral center of this movie. And he's just great. And he reminds me of
Cuba Gooding Jr.'s dad.
Cuba Gooding Jr.'s dad. What the problem I came to with this list was like I almost just made a list of dads in movies who reminded me of my dad. And Lawrence Fishburne as Furious definitely reminds me of my dad.
Really?
Yes. Well, he's very well spoken. I mess up when I'm talking about being well spoken.
He's smoking.
He's well spoken. My dad quit smoking ages ago. He's well spoken, and he's not like a stereotypical deadbeat dad. He's making something of himself, and he wants to empower people. And he's just a great, great dad. And I love this movie. It's a great movie. I think it's my favorite John Singleton movie of all time.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you.
I mean, it's what Too Fast, Too Furious is. It's pretty close, but no, I'm just kidding. I love it. It's great. Lawrence Fishburne is great. The whole cast is great. That's all I really have to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good choice. And I always felt like they were too close in age, but it makes sense that he had him when he was really young.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's part of the
thing.
That's part of what his message is about. Like, he's always telling him, like, use protection and use his head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Use a condom. But I love the way that they parody it in Don't Be a Menace to South Central while drinking your juice in the hood when Sean Wayne's dad is, I think it's Kevin Hart, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
And he's younger than him. Yeah. He asks him to read him a bedtime story. It's funny. But I do love it. As much as people make fun of it during Don't Be a Menace, I love Boys in the Hood. It's a great movie.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. What's the name is really good in it? Ice Cube.
Ice Cube. Ice Cube.
Yeah. I like the cars in that movie. It's funny to go back and see them. It's like, this was a tough car, really? A VW? a nice, really fixed up VW was like a thug car.
Well, he was in a thug.
Yeah.
He was just, I guess so. He was just another dude.
There's another brother.
Trying to make it in the hood.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't Ice Cube driving the...
That's true.
The bug.
Yeah, no, it was Ice Cube's car.
Ice Cube's Jerry Curl. Best ever, dude. Best ever.
Cooper Gooding Jr. and Morris Chestnut driving around in a VW bug.
Yeah. Why not? Two handsome dudes riding in a bug. There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with it.
What is your number 4, Jenny?
Okay, so my number 4 is from 2004, and it's Mr. Incredible.
Ooh.
Ooh, good one.
He's the epitome of your dad being your hero.
Literally.
Literally. That's what the word I meant.
Epitome works, too.
Word, both. Awesome.
you know, we love words here.
I'm really good at words today.
I think we all are. There's something in the air. I'm talking about my well-smoking dad.
But yeah, so he's that superhero dad. He can, and he helps his kids become superheroes, and he... becomes a superhero again. And he
lifts
them.
A car.
Yeah.
And he's awesome.
Well, yeah. he's all about the kids kind of, even with their superpowers, kind of empowering them using their superpowers. And he's supporting them all the way.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't ask them to hide it or anything. Yeah. And then they work together as a family.
I love the scene where he helps the little old lady figure out how to navigate the insurance company and get yes. get her claims processed. That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Good choice. I love Mr. Fantastic. Yeah, and I love
Mr. Incredible.
I'm considering Mr. Incredible. Sorry. He is Mr. Fantastic.
Wait, so are you? yeah. Are you saying that one of the Fantastic Four movies is on your list? You just your own list.
No. He just spoiled his list.
It just very, very much like the Fantastic Four. That
I don't think they were a dad yet. Neither of those. I never saw the second one, but I'm pretty sure it's.
You could have been. You could have been.
I don't remember. Did they get pregnant?
No.
She might have been. We don't know that.
All right.
No,
he's going to the story in the comic books. He's like, eventually, she'll be
one day they'll get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he impregnates her, which I don't know how that works. You know what I was watching today? Speaking of dads, Kevin and I were child surfing today. We're hanging out. And I just left it at Batman Returns to see how...
Superman Returns,
sorry. Just to see how bad it was, dude. It was horrible. He was
That's another movie you just decided to rewatch.
Yep. Yeah, even just the end. Just the end. He had died, quote unquote, already. It was when he was in the hospital and they couldn't get the IV because the needles kept bending. And I'm like, why don't they just let him die? but yeah, he was like a stalker. And then like, it's creepy how like he creeps into the kid's room and like he's like looking at
just
him sleep,
staring
yeah,
at him
like some sort of weird pedophile. And I'm like, wow, Superman went off the rails on this. Like he's like. You know, using his X-ray vision to spy on her and her new husband, and then like he's creeping into kids' rooms, and it's just really weird. There's really weird undertones.
So Superman is not on your list for best dads.
No, definitely not. Not on my list. But yeah, I just was reminded how bad that movie is. But Mr. Incredible, good superhero dad. I like him, and I'm like Coach. Is what I call him.
Yeah. I could have done a whole list of TV dads.
You could have done a whole list on Craig T. Nelson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
You could have made your list of five movies he stars in that are amazing. Yeah. And, my number, where are we? Four? My number four, I picked, let me see, let me pull it up. I picked The Road, the dad from The Road. He's just called Man.
Yep.
It's Viggo Mortensen, and I love this novel. I know people find it really, really depressing, but it's one of the ones where, I really loved it, and it kind of, for some reason, reminded me of my father. And I don't know why. I just imagine that's what he would do. Like, just if something happened, like crap went down when I was a kid, that's what he would do. I really, really like this movie, and I love the book. It's one of my favorite books. Really, really, it's a heartwarming book.
Real heartwarming.
Yeah. If you're feeling a little depressed, perfect book to read. Perfect book. But I love this character. And he never has a name, neither does a kid. It's called Man and Son. And they never call each other by names. And he's just, his main mission, it's a post-apocalyptic world they're living in. And his main mission is just to take care of this kid. And a lot of the times, like... Have you seen this, Jenny?
No, I haven't.
I won't spoil it for you because it's definitely a movie you should see. It's really, really, it's John Hillcoat, and it's just really well done. And, you know, just him struggling to all the like dire situations they get into, they're always contemplating like just killing each other, you know, like because he has two bullets left in the gun. And he's always, because there's no more food. It's just everything's gone. Everybody's horrible. Everybody they encounter is horrible. So it's like every time they get close to people, like he like contemplates, like, should I shoot the kid and then shoot myself? He's always doing it. And he actually trains his kid to know how to shoot the gun in case he has to kill himself. And he's like, if I get hurt, you have to kill yourself. Viggo Mortensen is so, he plays this role like, so well. And
how old's the son supposed to be?
The son is, I think he's like 12. Something around there. Yeah.
Yeah, 11 or 12.
And look at who they got to play the son was really good. Usually, sometimes I hate kid actors, but this guy was really good. It's a kid.
I still haven't seen this one, but I did love the book.
Yeah.
I just remember hearing that the movie wasn't that great.
It's okay. I mean, if you've read the book, you're not going to like the movie. I mean, you're going to think the movie's okay, but yeah. The book is just...
Yeah, I love that book.
But yeah. I feel like for me, it was kind of like Harry Potter is for some people, where the book that you've already read fills in the blanks. So it's like, I didn't feel like, I mean, it could have been, I think it would have been a way better like miniseries. But I understand it's kind of slow and it would be really boring. Well,
my issue is when you're reading the book, some of the terrifying scenes are in the dark. And yeah. With the film, you got to brighten it up. And yeah. It's not as dark and it's not as pitch black and you can't see your hand in front of your face.
Yeah. You can't show that in the film.
You can't.
Yeah.
And in the book, you're reading it and you're terrified because you're feeling it and you're imagining it. But in the movie, you can't really capture that.
Yeah.
But I will say that Viggo is terrific.
Yeah.
And he definitely does a great job playing the father.
Yeah. So that is my number five. I mean, number four, The Road. Man. No name.
Okay. So my number three... is from 1973, and Ricardo, I believe, talked about this on Ensembles, maybe. It's Paper Moon, and the father is Moses Prey.
This was definitely my honorable mentions.
This movie is just, it's really good. It's one of my favorite Peter Bogdanovich films. And, I mean, the relationship between Ryan O'Neal and Tatum, obviously being father and daughter, is great. I mean, the chemistry is terrific. But the way he plays Moses... it's fun. It's dramatic. You feel for him, at the end of the movie, once he gets his ass kicked, you feel for him. And I mean, I love his character and I love how he does grow and become this different character. And even though at the end of the movie, he says something to her, to the daughter that makes him think, well, he doesn't really care for her, but it's like, no, if you really listen to what he's saying and his actions, he really does just love this girl.
Yeah. And he learns to love her.
Too. He does. Yeah. He does. He learns to become a father.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's not. He's a con man.
Well, it's funny because he's not even like true to himself. Do you know? Like, because he just so many people and so, you know, I feel like he doesn't even know who he is anymore. I think like just meaning as a con man.
Yeah.
And then he just, you know, he's such a great actor. Didn't she won the award, right? She's the youngest kid to win an award, Academy Award, or was it Anna Paquin that beat her?
I
think
don't,
still she.
This is the one point in time when I'm going to say, if only Brian were here to answer that question.
That's true.
Yeah,
he would know.
Brian with a Y.
Brian with a Y. Well, Brian with an I probably would
him
know too.
Yeah,
he's got a pretty extensive knowledge of.
Yeah,
they should get a podcast movies. Together called Brian on Brian. Brian.
That sounds dirty.
No, meaning. Yeah.
Youngest person ever to ever win a competitive Oscar, Best Supporting Actress.
There you go.
Okay.
Well, Jenny answered it. Thank God we have her here. She beat Brian.
I love this movie. Honorable mention. Yeah. Did you know, I just recently discovered this, there was a TV show?
I did what?
There's a Paper Moon TV show, Jodie Foster.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it on Netflix?
No.
I kind of want to watch it.
Okay, I think it was like one season. But yeah, Jodie Foster.
That's interesting.
Who played the dad? Christopher Connolly played Moses.
Whoa. That's interesting.
But yeah, I randomly discovered this the other day. And I was like, what?
How did you discover this?
I don't remember. It was just like playing around on IMDb. And it was like, oh, hey, what's this?
Yeah.
And then there you go. Paper Moon, the TV show.
I love playing the game where you just start clicking. And then you don't go backwards. You just have to go forward. So you're like, okay, I'm going to start with Dark Knight. And then you pick an actor in it. And then you keep going and you try not to land on a shitty movie. That's my game.
Try not to land on a shitty movie.
Yeah, so you just go from actor to movie to from actor to movie, like every other one, and you try to not land on a crappy movie. Sometimes you get stuck. You're like, oh, I can't go back. I'm stuck with this guy. All right, and then you lose. It's like cheating. It's like playing solitaire, but with movies and IMDb.
That's an interesting game.
Yeah,
yeah.
You guys should try it one time, just once.
Just once.
All right.
What number are we on? Three.
Three.
Okay. So my number three. Probably a little obvious.
What is it?
1993, In the Name of the Father.
Ooh.
Oh, good one.
Pete Postlethwaite, may he rest in peace, is amazing in this movie.
Yeah.
Poor guy gets sent to prison for life with his son, wrongly accused of setting a bomb in the IRA.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's just Pete Postlethwaite and Daniel Day-Lewis together as father and son are amazing. They're just so great. And their relationship as they're developing develops even more once they're stuck together in prison and just seeing the way that they're kind of using each other to stay strong while they're incarcerated.
Yeah.
It's a great movie. If you haven't seen In the Name of the Father, you need to see this movie.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it was streaming up to like a couple, like last month. I remember I saw it.
It felt like it was always streaming.
Yeah.
I think it's still, it might still be. Because it's in my queue. And yeah. I'm pretty sure I saw it recently in my queue. It's
such a good movie. Such a good Daniel Day-Lewis. Like, yeah. It does give me chills to remember his performance in that. And Pete Postlethwaite.
Oh, they're both great.
They're both great. Have you seen this, Jenny?
No.
This is a movie, again, that you got to put on the list. It's young Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yes.
And he's awesome in it. And is he Irish or is he from the UK?
I believe London? He's from London. Irish,
I think. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's Irish.
Really? But in either way, he...
Nope.
No?
England.
Oh, okay. Oof.
Wait, in the movie?
No, he...
Oh, I thought you were talking about in real life.
I was asking in real life.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Confused you both.
My bad.
You did.
But yeah, he's from...
Damn you, Ricardo!
England. He's playing an Irish, but...
Yes.
But he's from England. And he's awesome. I love this guy. Look at this guy. yeah.
It's and kind of... he's not chewing up the scenery. He's just not. Being awesome.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I have a grudge about that. People always saying that he's always chewing up the scenery. It was two movies. Two movies where he chews up the scenery. Otherwise, he's just amazing. And in both of those two movies,
I don't think
he is amazing. What, as Bill the Butcher and,
okay, and that one a little bit.
Daniel Plainview.
I don't think
he... which I hope he... I'm not stepping on anybody's toes. But both of those parts, they do kind of chew the scenery a little bit, but it's great. It's not like it's bad. It's not. It doesn't take away from the movie. I feel it adds to the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, not I mean, totally. I feel especially it's just those characters.
Yeah, that's
yeah. They're just such. They're such huge, larger than life characters. Yeah. It's not like he's tainting the role with it. Like that's just who that person is. Mm-hmm. They're such big characters.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean the thing is that's not, I don't feel like that's not him. Like you watch him in interviews and he's really quiet. So yeah. It's like something he developed that based out of these characters. It's not something like, it's not like Pacino that he's always like, oh! It's not, you know, he's not
yes.
Danny Lewis isn't Pacino. Like that. Isn't like grandiose like that, like just yelling and stuff. No, he's very, very quiet and very subdued, and it's just characters he develops.
Yeah, it's whatever the role requires.
Yeah, and I do agree. He's only done two characters that are like that, and people.
I mean, unless someone's going to try to say that My Left Foot, but I don't think that counts at all.
No.
I mean,
no,
that's what that role requires.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Good picks, Jenny. What's going on with you?
What number three? I mean, is it number three? What number three?
What number three? Number three.
Is it number three?
The third number three.
Perfect. So my number three, I know I've listed this movie, I feel like a couple times on two different lists, actually. But just the character in general, Clark Griswold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just very natural. He's just a normal dad. Like,
I feel
he's
like
so like he, every guy.
He's like every dad. Like, yeah. Like especially like on vacation. I feel like every dad on vacation, they want to do two things. Relax. And have fun.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they don't want to be, like, rushing around. It just, hey, let's just have fun and relax.
Yeah.
And that's what his mission is, and I dig that. He's thrown into these situations in every movie. But all he wants to do in every single movie is just, hey, let's all have fun.
Yeah. I don't know. I do think he's a great dad, but I don't know that he doesn't remind me of my dad at all.
Really?
Not even a little bit. Well, I mean, beyond the color or race or whatever you want. My dad is not nearly as goofy as Clark Griswold.
And not even goofy. It's just the fact that's he just wants
he
simple things.
He does this thing where he tries to fix everything. And that's something that my dad does. Like, if something's wrong with the computer, no, he's got it. He'll fix it. He got this, guys. He's got it. Just let him do it.
Which,
leave him to the
which
room.
Vacation?
Any of them. Okay. But, yeah.
Well, my favorite.
I've named Christmas Vacation twice already.
Okay.
So that's my favorite out of all of them, but
well, that's
I've
my
named
favorite instant of fixing something when he uses the chainsaw to cut off the
banister.
Exactly.
Exactly. That's my favorite one out of all of them, but I've used it twice, so I'm just...
Use it again.
Okay. Yeah.
It's my favorite.
Yeah.
I think, all right, so in order, Christmas Vacation... Vacation.
Yeah.
And then I can't really decide after that.
Yeah, they're all the same after that.
I feel like for me, European Vacation's last, and Vegas Vacation's above that.
Vacation's pretty funny, actually. Yeah. Mm. That's true.
But for me, I enjoy Vacation the most. I think it's because of Anthony Michael Hall.
I grew up with Vacation more than Christmas Vacation.
And those also boobies, guys. Yeah. Did we forget about that?
Oh, right. I forgot about
Beverly
boobies.
D'Angelo's boobies. Oh, yeah. Adam's looking at me.
No, I thought it was someone else in the
pool.
It's her boobies in the
pool? No, she's in the shower.
Oh.
And Clark gets in.
Yep.
And she's topless. People forget about that. People are like, she's so...
You should just go watch The Sentinel.
Prestigious.
Prestigious
for being in all the Vacation movies.
But yeah, I like the first one. And just because I grew up with it. And my favorite part is when he's trying to explain what he was doing in the pool.
Yeah.
He's like, she's a waitress. She's pouring some shrimp for you, Audrey's mom.
Love Vacation, but I've watched Christmas Vacation. It's not Christmas unless I watch Christmas Vacation.
Mm. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, Michelle's always wanting to watch that. She's like, during Christmas time, like, let's watch. And I'm like, I'd rather watch Vacation. But anyway, where are we? Three?
Mm-hmm.
What number three is this?
Three, the third.
All right.
my number three, I picked the character Reverend Graham Hess from Signs. He's a father in two ways, a father and a father.
The father of all fathers?
Yeah, the father of all fathers. This character does kind of remind me of my dad.
There's so many inappropriate things I want to say for... Does your dad hate certain people of ethnic persuasion?
No. It's more about like faith and like... kind of protecting kids. Like, his mission is just to protect his family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's not. He's kind of, like, anti... Yeah, I won't get into it. just the fact that, like, that's his mission. Like, whether he believes in God anymore or he doesn't, it's just... His main thing was just, like, I got to protect my kids.
Yeah, family first.
Family first. And he also, in a certain way, becomes a father figure to... Joaquin Phoenix's character.
Mm-hmm.
Meryl. Yeah. Swing away, Meryl.
Swing away.
Yeah, and I like how his character kind of is like a child a little bit. He's back at home living with his brother-in-law.
Puts on that aluminum foil hat.
Yeah. And I just rewatched this, and I love this movie. And I think, for me, it's Unbreakable first, then this movie. But I'm always fighting to see which one's my favorite. I think this sometimes wins out just because it's overall just like great cinematography, great acting. It's very – it's the most quiet of all of them. It's very, very still at points. And I love that.
Stillness.
Yeah. it's a movie that every time I think like, oh, Mel Gibson's an a-hole, I think I would still work with him because he's an amazing actor. He's an amazing actor. And no matter – how much of a jerk he is, he's still an amazing actor. And this is a movie that I always go to. I'm like, oh, wow. Look at this. All these guys like at the top, you know, this guy I think that's one of my favorite performances of Mel Gibson. Mm-hmm. I mean, where it's like really serious and it just the scene when they're having dinner and like, he's like, they're no praying. And he's like, we should pray. He's like, no. And like, they start breaking down and they end up hugging and it's just,
I do really enjoy this movie. I think this is probably the last of
the great ones.
Shyamalan's
movies
that
was enjoyable.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's scenes in The Village that I really, really, really enjoy, but just scenes.
Yeah, no.
And it's more like visual stuff, like stuff that like I love certain shots. Like one of my favorite shots is in the Village is like when she's waiting for him and she has her hand out and you see the monster in the background and like the song that's playing and it's in like slow motion when they're running and it gets me emotional
for some reason. I'll agree with you on that one.
Yeah. So yeah, Signs, Graham, character Graham, Mel Gibson, my number three.
Okay, so my number two is from 2002, and it's Michael Sullivan from Road to Perdition.
Yeah.
Honorable
mention.
Yeah.
I love this movie. The character is great. What Tom Hanks does with the character is great. I think that's why the character, I mean... You just feel for him for so much because what Tom Hanks brings to the character. But the cinematography is mm-hmm. perfect. The music is great.
Is it his last movie that he did?
This is his
he
last one.
He passed away after this, right?
Yeah.
Ugh.
But some of those shots are, they're paintings. They're yeah. just very, very beautiful. And I love the relationship with Tom Hanks, with Michael Sullivan and his, and Michael Jr. And kind of how they go on this trip, and this whole time he just, even though he treats his son a certain way, it's because he sees himself so much in him that he's scared that he's going to turn out to be like him.
Yeah.
And the way he's redeemed in the end, he realizes that his son isn't him is great.
Yeah.
Well, and I feel like this is a twofer also.
Yeah, because of Paul Newman.
Paul Newman's
Paul Dio, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the relationship with those two.
Those two parallel stories are really great because you're like, this is what happens when your kid's a jerk and you love your kid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and you have to deal with him, whether he's a good kid or a bad kid. And yeah, he's such a... And it's funny because when the movie starts, they're not kind of doesn't like his kid. He mm-hmm. doesn't like his son. He likes the other son better. And at one point, he does say that, like, my brother would have lived, not me. And it's really cool how their like relationship develops, and like he kind of is having him do bad things, but for good reason. And,
yeah,
yeah. And that movie is. The story is not like it's a story you've heard, you know, you've seen or heard before, but it's all about like the actors in it. Jude Law is amazing in that, I think.
Oh, Jude Law is great. The way they introduced that character
so
is
creepy,
awesome.
And his like fingernails and his teeth and just like everything. He just really creeped me out in that movie.
Well, Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
Daniel Craig.
That's,
yeah,
so. I mean, especially after all this James Bond business, it's like, just go back and watch that movie.
Yeah.
It's like, yep. This performance where he's playing the Weasley,
yeah.
sniveling slime ball. It's like, dude, he does a really good job.
And it's funny because, like, Daniel Craig is a handsome guy. You know, that's why he's James Bond. He's a really handsome guy. But when you watch that movie, he's not, because he's such a good actor and it just, like, Weasel's pouring out of his pores. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and it just makes you think of him as an ugly character.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't see him as, every time I've rewatched it, I'm like, I don't see him as James Bond. Like, I hate this guy. But then you watch James Bond, he's like, oh, he's cool and like suave.
Yeah.
Oh,
I dig it. He does an excellent job.
Yeah.
And I just love the way they get away with Tom Hanks playing this character where they're like sort of hiding the deeds. Like when, like, he's killing people, but you never actually see him
yeah.
kill anyone. And it's like so you can still empathize with the character because you're never really seeing him do anything terrible.
Yeah.
Unless it's either like a direct retaliation, it's like someone else tries to kill him first,
or, yeah, protect
or,
himself,
or
yeah.
he's off camera and it's like it just kind of happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot of really good character actors. I forget his name.
Sirian Hines.
Yes.
He's great.
He's really great in it, and Paul Newman's amazing in it. Some of it, like his speeches, are pretty amazing. And yeah.
Well, I mean, that scene, this is one of those scenes where the acting is just terrific. There's a scene where him and Hanks are playing the piano.
Yeah.
And they keep cutting back to Daniel Craig watching him. And just the look on his face where he's smirking, but you can see in his eyes how he's never going to have that with his father.
Yeah.
And then the little kid says, "Why are you always smiling?" And he's like, "It's all so fucking hilarious."
That's yeah, that's right. And it's funny because not only are there two, I forgot that storyline. It's three like father son tales. It's also Paul Newman and Tom Hanks.
Yeah,
because Tom Hanks is a son he wish he had
yep.
instead of the fuck up that Daniel Craig. You know, and it's just man, I forgot how awesome that movie is. My favorite scene I think is the one that doesn't have any dialogue. Is when when it's raining and he shoots.
Oh.
I don't want to spoil it for anybody. And it's so well shot. And there's in the special features, they talk about how that scene wasn't working. Like, they just couldn't get it to work. And then I think the editor is like, what if we just take out the sound? Like, what if we just, no, there's no sound, no music, no nothing. And he's like, all right, let's try it. And it's literally like silence for like 15, 20 seconds. And it's really creepy and it's really powerful, I think.
I want to watch it right now.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Yeah,
time out.
Pause.
And we're back. That was a really good movie.
Yeah. I'm so glad we decided to stop and watch it.
Yeah. All right. Where are we at? Two? Three?
Two.
Two.
All right. My number two. This is a dude's dad movie all the way. Because there's this one scene where if you're a guy and you don't cry at this moment, then I don't know what's wrong with you. From 1989. Field of Dreams, when he asks his dad if he wants to have a catch, if you don't, like, at least tear up a little bit, you're dead inside.
It's true. Yeah.
That's, oh, I love this movie. But that scene where Kevin Costner as Ray Kinsella asks his dad, who's, like, one of the ghosts, spoiler alert, I'm sorry, if you don't know what happens, ghosts come back and appear in this field that he builds, a baseball field in the middle of his cornfield. And his dad is one of the ghosts that he learns after the fact. And he asks him for a game of catch. And tears.
Yeah.
Just streaming. It's ridiculous. It makes me think of playing catch with my dad and just baseball. And it's such a great movie.
Yeah.
It really is.
Is there a bad baseball movie? I don't think so. I can't think of one.
I feel like every time we always...
Email us if you think of one.
I can't think of one. Benchwarmers. But
I like Benchwarmers.
But technically,
I like Benchwarmers.
Yeah, and it's also, it's more of, I guess it's
baseball. That's Little League.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
But no, I enjoy Benchwarmers. It's cute.
Yeah.
I like the Knight Rider. But I like John Lovitz in it.
Yeah, and yeah. There you go. He's an honorable mention. John Lovitz is the dad in Benchwarmers.
That's right. Ah, there you go. Nice.
But yeah, Field of Dreams. Great movie. What, Phil Alden Robinson.
Yeah.
Great cast. Kevin Costner, Amy Madigan, Ray Liotta.
Yeah.
James Earl Jones.
He said, no one's going to jail, Karen.
Burt Lancaster, Frank Whaley. I love this movie so much.
Yeah.
I can watch. This is one of those, anytime it's on, wherever it's at, I'll watch it. And I feel like every time it's on TV, it's always when Kevin Costner is going to get James Earl Jones. Huh. It's always, that's not a gun, that's your finger. It's either that scene or it's a scene where they're at, where they're just leaving the baseball game at what's the stadium? Boston. The Boston Stadium with the green wall. Where the Red Sox play.
Yeah.
See, as much as I love baseball movies, but I know shit about baseball.
Fenway Park.
There we go. And so they're leaving the game, and those are the two scenes that I always come into the movie. It's either James Earl Jones being picked up by Kevin Costner, or James Earl Jones stepping in front of his van saying, like, you know what you saw, like trying to, like, saying that he saw the same thing.
Yeah.
And I'm there. I'm with it all the way through. Wherever I come in, I love this movie.
Good pick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those are my honorable mentions. And it's funny because when I'm making the list, I'm not talking about the movie. Because you get kind of passionate when you start talking about the movie. You're like, oh, yeah, and this movie, you know. And I feel like when you're picking your five movies, you're not, like pitching your movie. Like, this is why I put it on as my number two. Mm-hmm. And I should have pitched it, because then I would have put it on my list.
Oh, pitch it to yourself?
Yeah. Like this is why I like it, Ricardo.
This is one of the first ones I thought of.
Hmm.
Yeah. There's a couple where I'm like, I didn't want to reuse stuff. So yeah. There's a couple where it's like, it was the first one I thought of, but I'm like, no, I already used it. I want to have something new.
Yeah.
And but this is one that's probably going to be reused again for categories to come.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I love it so much.
Baseball movies.
Maybe in October.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Jenny.
All right. So my number two, the guy that plays the dad is just one of the most awesome guys to ever play a dad ever. And he's been a dad in multiple things. And I feel like he would just be the coolest guy to have around all the time. So for my number two, I have Steve Martin in Father of the Bride. That's the one. Thank I put it you. Under. Only because we had mentioned Parenthood before, and we actually haven't talked about Father of the Bride. And I love Father of the Bride.
Oh, great movie.
I think it's hilarious.
Yep. I'm right there with you.
And they're about the same for me. Parenthood and Father of the Bride are actually I like them both the same, just because Steve Martin is just hilarious.
Well, if anything, I think I like Father of the Bride more just because he's in it more.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I love part two.
Yeah, I do too. I love that one. And I don't care who knows it. It's one of those ones that you can really turn on anytime. And they always are playing on TBS or whatever those.
TNT.
TNT. Always. And Martin Short is hilarious. But we're talking about dads. And so Steve Martin is just one of those guys that he just can play a dad. Has he even been a dad before? Is he a dad in real life?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think he's married. I don't know.
That's he's just question. Really good at that.
I don't remember him talking about children and Born Standing Up.
Yeah.
I remember him talking about the jerk a lot.
I don't know that he is either, yeah.
And Let's Get Small. But not children. So maybe not. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe he's not.
Yeah, this movie's so cool, and I love Martin Short in it. He's really funny as the wedding.
Have you ever seen the original?
No, that was the other thing. Because the original was listed more times than this one. I've never seen the original. I don't know if it's...
As much as I like Spencer Tracy...
Steve Martin.
Steve Martin.
Yeah.
And again, I guess it comes up to the matter of growing up with the movie. And I grew up watching Steve Martin's as his character and not Spencer Tracy. Like, I've seen the Spencer Tracy version maybe twice.
Okay.
But I've seen the Steve Martin Father of the Bride.
So many
countless times.
Yeah.
And like, I I love it.
Which Culkin stars in this? Is it Rory or Kieran?
Kieran.
And then what? Diane Keaton.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, God, she plays such a good mom, and she's never been a mom either. We should have had a mom list, guys.
We should have. We
kind of because while we were doing this, I was like, oh, she would have been on my mom list. Yeah. Oh my God, she would have been on my mom list.
So we need to do a belated moms list.
Yeah.
Well, we'll save it for next year, for next May. I like this movie, and I like everybody who's in it is amazing. And
BD Wong. Hi, I'm Howard Weinstein. He's so good.
And it's funny. I was listening to a different podcast, and Brad Paisley was the guest, the singer.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how a breakup that he had had, and their favorite movie was Father of Bride, and so they were re-releasing or re-showing in theaters, and he went to the theater thinking, well, if she really loves me, she'll show up to the screening of it. And we'll rekindle our love. And I guess he started watching it, and he was bawling it because she never showed up.
Aww.
And he was crying watching Father of the Bride
by himself,
Brad Paisley. and then he's like, you know what? I'm going to marry that girl. The girl who's Kimberly Williams. She plays the bride.
And they're married now.
And he's like, yeah. And then they end up getting married.
That's funny.
He became famous and they got married.
Yeah.
I love Eugene Levy as the wedding singer that they're auditioning.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody was so good in this. And I like the scene where he lets his son drive.
Yeah.
Because they're like ballet.
Yes, him and his friend. Yeah. Isn't the friend the guy that plays Squints in The Sandlot?
I think he might be.
I think so, yeah.
And then I just realized in the second one, Eugene Levy is the guy who buys their house.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Who directed this? Do you know, by any chance?
Charles Shyer?
Oh. Yeah, I don't know that guy. I was so disappointed.
Yeah, you were.
Good movie. And Father is in the title, so what else do you want, right?
Yes.
All right, my number two is a movie from 2005, and this one's back to my bad dads. This is Bernard Bergman from The Squid and the Whale.
He's a pretty bad dad.
The way she was exhibiting her cunt. Can you believe that? He's talking to his son about this.
I feel like if we were doing worst dads, he would probably be number one. Well, not number one, but he could still be on your list for top five.
Yeah, and it's funny because throughout the movie he realizes, oh, my father's a jerk. He looks up to him so much.
Oh yeah.
And he wants to be like his dad, like, the whole, have you read Kafka?
He's like, yeah, the metamorphosis.
It's very Kafka-esque. Yeah, it is. It's very Kafka-esque. and like the whole song he's playing.
Pink Floyd.
He's like, did you write that? He's like, yeah. Oh, well, he helped.
Wait, but what's the younger son? Like, he's rubbing himself on things? Or like
he's
masturbating
in the library?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so wrong.
It's Carl. He's like, did you write? They ask Walt. He's like, Walt, did you write this song? He's like, oh, well, Carl helped. And it's just such a cool movie. And at the end, after he has a heart attack and he's getting put in the ambulance, I like that he does a thing on his lip and he's like, bitch. And he's like, are you calling me a bitch? He's like, no, that's in the Godard film. And he's like getting taken away, he's dying, and he's still calling her a bitch. I love Bernard. And just, even though he's a jerk, I still love him. Because
he's a lovable scoundrel.
Yeah. And
Jeff Daniels does such a great job.
Yeah. Just the fact that, like, how he plays tennis. He's like a dirty backhand. He's like, who taught you that shot? He's like, my dad. There's so many really great moments in this movie. If you haven't seen it, it's The Squid and the Whale. It's very much in the same... Well, I think... Oh, did Noah Baumbach help write The Royal Tenenbaums? No, he didn't. He started helping him on The Life Aquatic, right? But yeah, it's very much... It feels very much like an... like an 80s version of a Wes Anderson film. A tamed version. It's the color palettes aren't crazy like Wes Anderson likes. And it's more, I really enjoyed it because it was like 16 millimeters and it was really like intimate and it felt like it was the 80s.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like, oh, they're trying to replicate this. It felt really good and authentic. And he's a good dad. By good, I mean horribly.
An entertaining dad?
Yeah, he's really entertaining. And it's a fillet of the dads. He's like, the house is a fillet of the neighborhood. but yeah, that's my number two. Kevin, take us to your number one.
Okay, so recap. My number five, I had The Kid. 4, Stepfather. 3, Paper Moon. 2, Road to Perdition. And my number one is animated. And the character is Marlin from 2003's Finding Nemo.
Honorable mention. Yeah.
Honorable mention.
I love this movie, and I love Albert Brooks's take on Marlin and that character and how he becomes, at first he's adventurous and he wants to go out, and then when the accident happens and the tragedy happens, he becomes this very overprotective father who loses his son and has to go find him and ends up having an adventure again. But Albert Brooks is great. I mean, he plays this character's neuroses so well. And then, of course, Ellen DeGeneres as Dory, who's great. But again, we're talking about dads. But the relationship between Dory and Marlin along the way is just a lot of fun.
That's what makes him such a fun character to be with, seeing his reactions to what Dory is doing.
Yes. Yeah. Because she's just so off the wall and she has horrible short-term memory. And just the way he reacts to her forgetting something that he said or something that she's repeated like 3 times now. But it's a lot of fun and it's really good. And it's the end of the movie always gets me and I tear up all the time.
Yeah.
Someone else is crying out there in the background.
They're like, yes, I love Nemo. this movie's so great. And just the fact that like it's such a good, like, but it's such a good by the books like story, but it's so done so well. Like it's just, you know, the overprotective dad who loses his son. Mm-hmm. Such a good movie. And I like the little Finn on Nemo.
yeah.
It's good. I always hear like rumors of sequels, but I don't know how they would do it. How would he lose him again?
Yeah.
He's a teenager.
I don't really see a sequel.
He runs away.
I just like that the two animated features that almost made it on my list were both mentioned already. It was The Incredibles and Finding Nemo.
Yeah,
those were the two that were tough to pick from. I only wanted to do one animated, so I picked Incredibles because I hadn't listed that one yet. But I'm glad that you put Nemo in there.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Happy.
All right.
Next on Fresh Air.
Yes.
Okay, so my recap. Number 5 was The Birdcage. Number 4 was Boys in the Hood. Number 3, In the Name of the Father. Number 2, Field of Dreams. And my number 1, I can't believe it hasn't been mentioned yet, from 1989 also, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Yeah, honorable mention.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I knew somebody was going to mention that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad it was me.
Yeah.
Sean Connery as Henry Jones Sr.
Yeah.
Is one of my favorite cinematic dads of all time.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love his constantly calling Indiana Jones Junior?
Junior.
Or just like when he remembers his Charlemagne and chases the seagulls into the plane and just so great.
I like when he slaps him in the face.
Yes. That's for taking the Lord's name in vain. when like him and Marcus Brody together are great when he tries to save Marcus out of the tank. He's just so good. Sean Connery is the man. And seeing James Bond playing Indiana Jones' dad, and he's not just there. He's not just like, oh, hey, I need rescuing. He's in the action also.
Yeah.
And then the last scenes in the temple, when he's like going through the trials with him, sort of.
Yeah.
Like in spirit, I guess. Just only the penitent man shall pass.
Yeah.
The penitent man. I love that scene. I love this movie. I love Sean Connery. Love Indiana Jones. It's really all you can say.
Mm-hmm. This is such a good movie.
I
really enjoy this movie, and I feel like they could have told Henry Jones's like movie. He could have had his own movie. I feel like he's had a bunch of adventures, like just based on that movie. I'm like, oh, I want to hear about this guy's life. This guy sounds like he's
maybe like a different. I feel like he would be more of a trying to. This sounds wrong, but it's the first thing that comes to mind. I feel like Henry Jones Adventures, Henry Jones Sr. would be more Inspector Clouseau-like.
Yes. Yeah.
Or it's a bit more comedy than Indiana Jones, but it would still be fun.
Yeah.
Like he'd be like a bumbling Peter Sellers. But still being able to
fumble
be
his way through two adventures.
But he'd still have like cool moments because he's still getting the girl. He still gets Elsa.
Yeah.
Elsa.
Ilsa. Yeah. Ilsa. So
is this one number three or two?
Three.
Oh, okay.
He redeemed himself after the whole Temple of Doom debacle.
I enjoy
still. Mm-hmm. I like Short Round and I like Toshiro Mifune. Little cameo. I have no problem with the second one, but people I think at the time were kind of like, what's this sequel? We don't like it.
Another random sequel that I only had the second movie instead. I never had the first one growing up. I grew up watching Temple of Doom, so I loved.
I did too.
That was the one that I always watched was Temple of Doom growing up.
Well, because as a kid, it's really good. I feel like if I had kids, that's the first one I'd show them because it's the most fun and like they're Short Round that kind of takes you like you're like, I wish I was Short Round to hang out with Indiana Jones and you know drive a car with those crazy stilts on your feet.
And then the hallway filled with insects. Come on.
Yeah.
The kids don't play with insects.
Exactly. and then riding the elephant and the bats. And it was just so fun. And I do enjoy that movie.
Yes.
That's how I went. Again, that's how I think is a good way to introduce Indiana Jones to your kids.
Well, and if you're going in chronological order, that's technically the first one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, going by the years listed in the films, it takes place a couple years before or the year before what happens in Raiders.
Oh, wow.
Which was always weird to me. It's like, wait, what? But this is the year before? What? I'm so confused, but whatever.
Yeah.
They're all great. Well, those three are great.
the ones that exist.
The first three.
In another universe, they don't exist. I wish I lived in that universe. all right. Jenny? You're excited about your number one. I feel like you're just so jazzed. You're ready to tell us.
She is. It's almost like we don't know what she's going to say.
Yes. All right.
Wait, do we know what she's going to
say? So my number five is Arthur Weasley in Harry Potter. My number four is Mr. Incredible in The Incredibles. Three is Clark Griswold in Christmas Vacation. Two is, I forgot what his name is in that movie. Steve Martin in Father of the Bride.
George Bailey?
That's it.
No.
George
Banks.
George Banks.
George Bailey is, that's an honorable mention. It's a Wonderful Life.
Right. So my number two is Father of the Bride, and my number one was Armand Goldman.
Birdcage.
In The Birdcage.
Is it Goldman or Coleman?
Coleman or Goldman?
You gotta walk like John Wayne. he's a howdy partner.
Fussy.
all right. So my number five was a two-way tie between Mr. Fox and Royal Tenenbaum. Number four was Man from The Road. Number three was Graham from Signs, Mel Gibson's character. Number two was Bernard from The Squid and the Whale. And my number one, I cheated. He's technically not a father, but he's a father figure while he's with this kid. And the guy I'm talking about is Robert Butch Haynes from A Perfect World.
Mm.
Oh,
that's a good pick. Well,
a good pick.
I don't think that's just cheating because Charlie Chaplin's not the kid's dad.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. He's a father figure. Kevin Costner's character escapes. He's an escaped convict, and he's on the run, and he kidnaps a kid. And some would call it friendship, but I feel like because he doesn't have a dad, he only has a mom, and he becomes like a dad to this kid. And the part that gets me is when he gets him a costume because the kid's a Jehovah's Witness and he's never gone out trick or treating, and he's like why and it's not Halloween, and he gets him a costume, Jenny, and he dresses him up and he takes him to houses, and he basically at gunpoint makes people give him candy.
Oh, jeez.
Because he wants the little kid experience Halloween. And
that's how you do it.
And roller coasters.
And roller coasters.
Roller coasters right on the top of the car. Yeah. He lets him right on the roof of the car in his Halloween costume.
Yeah.
I love this movie.
Yeah.
Ever since I was a kid and when it first came out, I've loved this movie so much.
And this is a movie where I definitely, no matter how many times I've seen it, it always tears me up at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Who else? Who's is it? It's not Laura Linney.
It is Laura Dern. Sorry.
Laura Dern. Yeah. Yes. They're really good. I look when they take the governor's campaign van.
Yes. Like they
want some, yeah. You want some steak and tater tots? Like, yeah. Hell yeah. I want some steak and tater tots. It's a great movie.
Yes. Bradley Whitford's in it.
Oh, yes. It's the douchey FBI guy.
Yeah. And also, the guy who plays Commissioner Gordon's right-hand man in Dark Knight, he plays, I forget his character, but anyway, that dude's in it. And, okay. It's such a good movie, and he's definitely a good, it's funny because he's a convict and he's a bad person, but he's definitely a good person to this kid.
Oh, he definitely cares about the kid.
Yeah, yeah. And just the fact that he, like, when he makes kind of like his ransom note, he says, like, this kid's got to be taken for Halloween. And, like, that's one of the demands. And Clint Eastwood directing. And it's amazing.
Yeah, that's it's another Kevin Costner movie that
gets
me teared
gets
up.
Gets tears yep. going. Yeah. You're like, not now. Not here, not now. Not here, not now. but, yeah, that's my number one. And, yeah, you guys want to do some honorable
mentions?
That's
a really good pick. I didn't even think about that.
I didn't even think of that one.
Yeah. Kevin, any honorable mentions?
Okay, some movies that haven't really been talked about. Kramer versus Kramer, yes. Ted Kramer, Atticus Finch.
Yeah, I feel really weird saying this, but I think I've only seen To Kill a Mockingbird once. And I loved it.
Yeah.
And I do know that he's, like, it's a great part, but I just, like, it's, I couldn't put it on the list just because I feel like it should be on the list. Like, I do feel like it should be on the list, but I don't remember. Like, I know the story. It's one of the, it's a weird.
Yeah, no, area. No. If you've only seen it once and you can't really, like, remember, like, I mean, you can remember the scenes, but you can't really, like, remember how you felt watching certain scenes, but you know you liked it, then, yeah, I mean, obviously don't force yourself to put it on the list.
Yeah. But I do know that, I mean, I remember Gregory Peck. Gregory Peck. He is awesome as Atticus Finch.
Yeah. Mr. Mom.
Yes.
Michael Keaton. Yes. Michael Keaton as Jack. And then Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it.
Cool.
Okay. I got... All right. So Don't Look Now. Donald Sutherland is the dad in that, which it was a weird moment when I realized what list I had already used this on. I was like, oh, wait. I also used Don't Look Now on Best Sex Scenes. But he's a pretty awesome dad. Frequency.
Yes.
I really like Frequency.
Yep.
Royal Tenenbaums. And okay, and then again, because I just used this on Time Travel, Back to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
George McFly. Parenthood of Father of the Bride. Okay. This was a very small part of the movie, but I love the dad in this movie. Dennis Hopper in True Romance.
Oh, yes.
Great. He's a pretty dedicated father.
Yeah.
Robert De Niro as the dad in A Bronx Tale.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
John Witherspoon in Friday.
Yep. He's put some hot sauce on my burrito.
Samuel L. Jackson in A Time to Kill. He fucking killed two dudes for his kid. That's some serious dedicated parentage or whatever you want to call it.
I killed them. I hope they burn in hell.
Bicycle Thieves.
Bicycle Thieves?
Yes.
Which is that one?
It's the actual title.
Yes. I was like,
I had to be pretentious about it.
Is this a sequel?
Yes.
He's like, there's more than one bike.
This time stolen it's personal.
This one, he steals a shitload of bikes.
See, I figured, like, all right, so do I call it A Bicycle Thief or do I call it Bicycle Thieves? And then people are going to give me shit for not calling it by the original title. So either way.
Yeah.
You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Yeah.
And then this is one of my questionable dads, but I really love this movie and I really like his performance. Legends of the Fall.
Mm. Oh. Yeah.
Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, spoiler alert, he kills a dude for his son. Basically, any dad who kills someone for their kid, they should be on this list. Did I say he got game?
No, you didn't.
He got game. Denzel Washington.
Yep.
Again, it came down to... If I had done the list of people who reminded dads who reminded me of my dad, like Denzel Washington, and then almost this isn't an honorable mention, but it almost was because Danny Glover in Lethal Weapon reminds me so much of my dad. It's really bizarre, but that has nothing to do with like him being a dad in the movie and just the way he looks. It's like that's my dad.
Hmm. Interesting.
I think that's it.
Jenny?
Okay. So I have Nick Cage in Raising Arizona. I also have... Yes. He's yes. just one of those dads.
Why did I not even think of that?
H.I.
Yeah, H.I. Mac McGruff in Juno.
Yes.
He's a pretty good dad.
Yes.
Reese Bobby in Talladega Nights.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know about all that.
He doesn't have to be a good dad. He's just... I just love him.
He's a pop quiz.
I mean, you have if a anything, pound
Glimmin' Bam Bam on your car.
If I was going to go with a Gary Cole dad, I would have gone Brady Bunch, Mr. Brady.
Yep. Oh, yeah. He's good in that, too.
But I mean, just Gary that. Cole is awesome.
He's just awesome.
Gary Cole is anybody's dad.
Yeah.
Oh, and then also Harry Stamper from Armageddon, because he killed himself and saved the world for his daughter.
Alert.
Did it. Boom. Said it.
I just saw this movie. You know what? This movie's really cheesy and really like... But that moment gets me. When he's like, when Affleck's like crying, he's like, no, but Harry!
Harry!
It gets me. It's really patriotic. The movies, all of Michael Bay's movies are very, very like pro-America. Yeah, we kick ass. We'll go to the we'll find an asteroid and kick its butt.
Hey, I will take early Michael Bay over modern Michael Bay any day.
Yes.
I think Bruce Willis is just a good dad character in general.
Yeah.
I think he could always play a good dad. He doesn't play enough dads. Yeah. He should play more dads. Make him be more dads.
Was he a dad in The Jackal?
No.
Nope.
No.
No, he's a good dad in Live Free or Die Hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, he was in that in all of them. He had the kid.
This is true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he does more directly for his kid in Live Free or Die Hard.
Yeah, she's only that's in true. It for a little bit of the movie.
But she's
but it's but a
Lucy
crucial
McClane
part.
Is in it more than she was.
Oh, and also
in Die Hard
2. Liam Neeson in Taken.
Yes, yes. Taken.
Mm-hmm.
Badass, dude.
Yeah.
That's a badass dad. Badass.
Liam Neeson in Love Actually.
Yes. Even though it's not really, he's not really a dad. He's like.
He's a stepdad.
He's a stepdad.
Kind of. Does he actually adopt him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, no, because it was, it was his wife's son and then she dies.
So he's
a legal guardian.
Right. Yeah. Did he actually adopt him though? Or does he automatically go to his wife's husband? Even though he didn't actually. How does that work?
I would assume like, legally adopted him because that's why he's able to retain custody.
Yeah. I guess so.
I don't know.
And then
how that works.
Father Figures, a movie we talked about before, Hugh Grant and About a Boy.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. What else? What else you got?
That's all.
That's it. All of my honorable mentions were mentioned. Marlon, Finding Nemo, you mentioned Mr. Incredible.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Brando.
Yeah.
Well, Brando. Yeah, in The Godfather.
The Godfather, yeah.
Yeah. When he slaps around Fredo. He was a good dad. He wanted to protect
that
his family.
That was the thing. It's just tough where it's like, all right, well, you're a good dad, sort of, but crime.
He didn't want drugs. He's a good dad.
Because he didn't want drugs.
Yeah, he's like, you know what?
So no Johnny Depp and Blow.
No.
Horrible father.
Okay. Horrible father, yeah.
But the scene... What almost got an honorable mention for this is the scene after Sonny dies.
Oh yeah,
and Brando comes down. It's like, what's happening?
Yeah, he's all. I have a drink before I went up. He's like, you've had your drink. Now tell me what's wrong with something, you know. And that's a pretty awesome scene. That's a Brando I love. I love old Brando. Even the Island of Dr. Moreau when he's got the little person.
Hey, he's a dad in that.
He is. Dude. Yeah. You know what? That little person was supposed to be Val Kilmer's like sidekick thing. And Marlon Brando saw him and just picked him up. And he's like, I'm going to do the movie with him. And there's nothing we can do. Like, okay.
And that spawned the whole South Park character, which I love.
Yeah. Another honorable mention. I just rewatched this movie, and it got me really teary-eyed at the end. Brad Pitt in Moneyball. When he puts on the CD. He's just like a good dad. I mean, watching the movie, like, I feel... And forget the true events. Like, that's what kind of kept them in that team. Because he would have had to go across the country to the Red Sox. And he wouldn't have had enough time with his daughter. Where here, you know, he was closer to her. And the end scene when he puts on her CD that she recorded for him and he starts bawling it. Gets me all the time. I start bawling. Honorable mention. What's his name? Billy Bean from Moneyball.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
That's it. A lot of baseball movies. Well, two.
Two.
Well, I feel like I feel like there could have been more because like baseball is in
dad. You know, Dennis Leary was a good dad in The Sandlot.
Yes.
Yeah. A stepdad.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Because he just wanted to teach him how to like, you know, catch, play catch and you know, even when he destroyed the ball, he still wasn't really mad at him. He grounded him, but he didn't beat him up.
He gave him a
the murderer's
row ball.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's you can't cool. be mad at that.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, he was a pretty good dad. Like, you know, you saw him trying and stuff. Yeah. There's a lot of good dads in baseball movies.
Did anybody else looking at other lists see Darth Vader keep popping up?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I never thought of Darth Vader as a good dad.
No. He's a bastard.
And I mean, but you have bad dads, but still, like, when I think of dads, I mean.
That's not a dad movie.
Yeah.
Nope.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He tells him while he's about to kill him.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
He's like, dude, I'm your dad, bro, but I'm going to kill you. Dude,
yeah,
bro.
That's crazy.
We can rule the galaxy together, dude.
Yeah.
I'm your dad.
I want to see, instead of James Earl Jones, the dad in Friday. What's his name again?
John Witherspoon. Yeah. As Darth Vader.
Yeah. Yeah, doing the voice.
Grab the dog. Whoop his ass.
I love when.
By the way, if I had been here for character actors, John Witherspoon would have been on my list, probably number one.
You weren't here for that?
I wasn't here for best character actors.
Oh, that's right. Good. Yeah, you're right. He's in a bunch of stuff. He's in stuff that I'm like, what? He was in Armageddon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a list. What else? What else we got? Some business. I guess we have some business to talk about, and that is Amazon.com. If you're going to go to Amazon.com, why not go through us, through our website at thelistfilmpodcast.com. Click on our little banner, and then we get a couple shekels our way.
If you want to buy your dad something for Father's Day.
Yeah. You want to buy on Father of the Bride? Go ahead. Buy it on Amazon, but through us. That's right. We get a couple shekels. We get a couple, like 20 cents off that DVD. Buy him something bigger. We'll get a little more money. So... You know, how good of a...
He probably needs a nice HD TV.
I know. Yeah. Or a Blu-ray player.
LCD, LED.
Yeah.
Nice 50-inch.
Yeah. That's a great Father's Day gift. A barbecue. They sell everything on Amazon.
Surround sound system.
Yeah. Yeah.
A tie rack.
Yeah. Or a gift card. Buy them a gift card.
Gift card.
Yeah. But I just realized that by the time this airs, it'll be post Father's Day.
Well, hey, if you forgot Father's Day...
If you forgot, don't be a bad... son or daughter, get him something late. Go, hey, bro, I forgot your birthday, but here's a gift card, man.
Do you call your dad bro a lot?
Sometimes. Yeah. I'm like, what's up, bro? He finds it funny. What else? What else is up? You can find us, again, our banner and all that stuff, links. By the time this is out... Blaine's Weaver should still be out in theaters. Go check it out.
Well, if he's not still out in theaters, I mean, 6 month Rule is coming out on demand on August 7th.
Yeah.
But if you can check it out in theaters, definitely. By depending on what day this goes up, it should still be playing in New York, L.A., Houston, Louisville, Shreveport, and Denver.
Yeah. Colorado. Chicago. You mentioned Chicago?
Did I say Chicago? I don't remember. I don't know.
Chicago's playing too, but I think it is. But check it out. It's one of our posts on our website. It has all the dates, the links to the theaters and all that stuff. Go check out the 6 month rule.
Yeah, you can find out more at 6monthrule.com or 6monthrulemovie.com. And it's 6 the number, not S-I-X.
And what else? Check out a couple of our friends' podcasts. We have the Inside Outcast. They really support us. Also, First Take with Lance is really cool. He kind of picks one TV show or movie, and he kind of discusses it at length, just for 30 minutes. So it's a short, you know, short and sweet little podcast. What else? Who else do we know?
Rupert Pupkin Speaks, our friend Brian with an I.
Yes.
Rupert Pupkin Speaks .blogspot.com.
Yes. And exactly. His is a blog. And it's pretty damn entertaining.
He does. He's a big fan of lists.
Yes.
He loves lists.
Can't wait to have him back on the show.
He does lists on lists.
Yes.
I love that guy.
I guess I should mention my website, shootingthescript.com.
Yes. If you want to find out more movie reviews, in-depth movie reviews and stuff and such, if you dig Brian with a Y, then go head over to the website. Even if you don't, go check out
Adam's because I'm there too.
Yeah.
We have other writers. We've got our Portland contingent.
Yeah. And if you want to check out more stuff, if you're like, man, I like that Adam dude, he's pretty cool. Is he the Adam Scott? No, he's not. He's not the Adam Scott, but he's one Adam Scott.
Yes.
And he writes also for, what is it?
MoviePass. Blog.moviepass.com.
Check it out. You could find us on the Twitter. On Twitter. Not the Twitter. On Twitter, at the Movie Podcast. You could find me on Twitter, at Ricardo.
Film podcast.
At the Film Podcast.
What did I say?
Movie. You said the Movie Podcast.
No. Sorry, guys. At the Film Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Ricardo, ULTRERAS. Jenny, you can find her at Yawn, Girl Yawns.
Damn it. That always happens. I'm at JEHNEIGH.
I'm at An Adam Scott, AN underscore Adam Scott.
And I'm at K Zuberbier. That's ZUBERBIER.
That's it. That's it for this week. And what else? We should do some trivia. I feel like we have a lot of not today, but I'm saying coming up. Stay tuned. We'll do some trivia. Send you some. We're gonna go to Comic Con soon, so we're gonna have a bunch of stuff to give out.
Yeah, we are.
A bunch of stuff we don't want to give out.
No, we really want it. It's really awesome stuff. But we're just gonna
we want
to
share
it
with everyone else.
Yeah,
because it's so awesome.
Yeah. We're givers.
Whoa. all right, that's it for this week. And that's it. Have a good week.